outline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Drew. This is Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Happy Halloween. Adam is, been possessed. He's Halloween traffic. I don't know what it is, but I've had quite an evening of trick-or-treating myself with my kids.
Go get yourself a hooker.
Thank you, thank you. And since it is Halloween, we have Peter James with us tonight, who's a psychic medium. Is that how you introduce yourself?
Yes, sir.
What psychic medium? Those things are two different things to me.
No, actually, they're one of the same. My forte is doing ghost research, and I'm best known for doing ghost research.
What does that mean, ghost research?
Well, it means that when people die, tragically or violently or abruptly, they become a ghost or spirit. And I'm the kind of a person that has the ability to identify to interact with and communicate with those that have passed on tragically.
Is that the only time someone becomes a ghost is after someone
has survived? Yes. Generally, rule of thumb that if someone dies of natural causes like a heart attack or a stroke, that they go on to the other side, if you will, to a place that is more peaceful, rather than a ghost that becomes territorial where they die and they remain there in a never-ending cyclical fashion and doing the same thing over and over again until someone like myself that does ghost research exclusively brings them to light and to their awareness that they are dead, because most are not aware of being dead.
Huh. No matter how long they sit there.
No matter how long.
Huh.
They can haunt a place for eons.
Wow, interesting. And by ghost research, do you mean, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it means that my work involves hands-on work. In other words, I have to go where they die. For example, I'm currently doing some work on the Queen Mary, which I've done for a number of years, and I've done research there. I've been to places like Alcatraz and hospitals.
You have
and,
a new book coming out?
Yes,
Kevin,
I have.
Kevin, can you, Heaven, can
it's
you hear
Heaven,
me?
Can you hear me? Yes. Yes, it's Heaven, Can You Hear Me? That's coming out very soon.
There's a website, ghostencounters.com.
Yes, ghostencounters.com, yes.
And did you know, have you always had this sort of talent, or did it come upon you one day, or how did you discover this?
Doctor, I've had this ability since I was a child, and I became cognizant of it since I was about 8 years old.
Well, what was your first experience like?
My first experience was living upstate New York. I lived in an old haunted apartment building, and interestingly, I had three ghost playmates that made themselves aware of their being there to me, and they became my ghost playmates. And this is how I was able to interact with them and learn how to communicate from 8 years old on.
And these were children spirits?
Children that died in that particular building from a fire. So here again, they lost their lives tragically.
When did you find out that these were spirits or that there'd been a fire?
I found out about 2 years later because I was working downstairs in this building in an old upholstery factory. And when I went in the rear of the building where the warehouse was, this is where the apartment that caught on fire, where the children lived and died tragically. And remember, ghosts are territorial. They remain where they die.
Now, what can our callers expect from you? They're very confused about their love life, their relationship.
Well, quite frankly, it has been my experience that that many people that I encounter that claim to live in a haunted house claim to have been molested by a ghost and have actual contact with ghosts, sexual contact.
You came at just the right time, Adam.
Yeah, who got molested by a ghost?
Lots of people.
Many people.
Did Roseanne get molested by a ghost?
That's all things possible. It's quite conceivable. But to sum it up, on the premise of so in life, so in death, that what a ghost, what a person does in life, they can do in death.
What's that mean?
If you're having sex, you can have sex in.
Yes.
Well, you better kill yourself right now, Adam. Because you can go out and molest people.
Shut up. Listen, I was listening on the way in.
You could kill yourself at the Olympic Gardens.
I almost killed myself on the way in listening
to
you.
Give me a
show.
Break.
But you're still alive, so I don't have to contact you.
Yeah, and I didn't know that the whole ghost thing about only people that have passed away violently or tragically. Well, it makes sense because, you know, they always have an axe to grind, so to speak.
Yes.
They've got a beef. It's like, how come this bitch keeps hanging around this house? She's looking for her head. She can't. What? But why do you turn into a moron when you're a ghost?
Can't you figure things out?
Yes, I mean they do all these crappy movies
because they're not aware of being dead, and that's
so why can't they figure that out?
She's looking for her head. I may be dead now. I don't know it, but do we know if we're dead? How do we know?
No, that's what I'm saying. Most people are not aware of being dead.
I don't walk around looking for my head, though.
Of course not, because they're not aware of it. Because when we die, we maintain our personality with awareness, consciousness, and memory. Therefore, without our physical body, our consciousness continues, thinking that we're still alive.
Okay, so what's interesting, how even in life, when we have a trauma, we reenact the trauma over and over again?
Over and over again, in a never-ending cyclical fashion.
Drew, imagine, you know me, some guy cuts me off of the freeway, I don't forget about it for 6 months. Imagine someone killing me, how pissed I'd be. I'd just go through eternity complaining about the guy who stabbed me.
And then you'd be stuck in the... Oh, my God, you would...
I hope we go together, Drew.
Oh, my God. Well,
many people have...
Oh, my God. We can't travel together. Anything should happen, it's just like...
Many people have unfinished business to attend to. Therefore, this is why they remain on this level of trying to contact someone like me who can interact with them to get their problems resolved and bring closure to these things.
No Jewish ghosts, though, I noticed.
Ghosts
are
Jewish ghosts. I'm sorry. Ghosts are eclectic. They're all races, all creeds, all nationalities, all sexes, and
yes. I'm a Jew.
All right, so now if we wanted, and Drew, we're going to figure out a way to swap seats here in a second.
There has to be a consequence for you being left.
I'm sorry, but you know what? Let me tell you something about, I come from Hollywood.
Oh, the parade.
Just one huge bottleneck. The gays are marching up and down Santa Monica. I got the Mexicans marching up and down Sunset. It's really, I need a helicopter to get out of my house. I live up on the hill. I come down. Bottleneck everywhere. Right, there's nothing. Gridlock. All right. Feel sorry for me?
Yeah, I do.
All right, ready? One, two, three.
Keep talking.
Ooh, this is Halloween night and the ghosts are here.
You are lucky, Peter, because usually when we have a medium or a psychic on the show, I tear them a new a-hole, and then they get mad, and then the whole show becomes us yelling at each other. But producer Ann said, leave this one alone. It's Halloween. Let's just scare some kids and go the hell home. Okay. And I said, you know what I said? I said, you're right.
Okay.
I said, live and let live.
I'm prepared for some of your stuff, though, if you want to throw some at me.
Well, last person we had on here was a psychic, I guess. And you're more of a person who communicates with folks that have passed on.
Yes, but one has to have psychic abilities also to do what I do.
So you also have psychic ability.
But I separate myself from the vast majority of psychics, and I chose this field, this ghost research, because most psychics do not do what I do.
They don't talk. And what about these James Von Prague types and these other types who do this for a living on television?
With all due respect to James Von Prague and John Edward, I respect their abilities. However, I don't agree with their doing studio work because it is so unlikely to have a busload of departed loved ones to go to a television studio and partake with the activities with their living people. In other words, John Edward or James Van Prague would say, you know, to the audience, well, I'm getting a letter M from your Uncle John who stands next to me, who is deceased. But my point is, if a deceased man is there, he wouldn't have to say who the M belongs to because he would know who his living relative was.
Yeah.
So this is what I don't agree with.
Always very sketchy.
Yes, very, very sketchy.
Very sketchy.
But see, the difference is that what
I do...
And
no one saw 9/11 coming either, by the way.
But what I do is reality-based, and it's hands-on. I have to be where they die.
I got an idea. Just to... And again, because I do like proof. I'm an atheist.
Okay.
I want proof. Why don't we kill Drew tonight, and then... Drew, you write a note. Write a three-digit number on a piece of paper, then kill yourself. Then see if we can speak to Peter. And if we don't get the number right, well, we know what's going on.
Let me just make one comment about atheism.
Mm-hmm.
What I do has nothing to do with religiosity.
I know. I'm just saying. What I'm saying is, I'm skeptical by nature.
I'm skeptical also, but that's healthy because if there were no skeptics, if you weren't skeptical or skeptics were not skeptical, they'd be out of jobs.
That's right. You would, right? Right.
No, they would.
Yeah. The skeptics? Yeah, right. Everyone could call themselves whatever they wanted to. Yeah. You get that one?
I'm trying to follow.
Sam?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
About 3 months ago, I was unfaithful in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some accentuating circumstances on both sides. But
what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, my husband and I were separated geographically, but I gave up a lot to go to where he was going. And there was a long period of separation, about 9 to 10 months. And my husband became quite distant from me. I don't think he did anything on his side. But a relationship developed with a man, and I was unfaithful to my husband. My problem is that I've moved to where my husband's job was, and I gave up a lot to do that. I don't necessarily feel guilty about what happens, although I think that I probably should.
My problem is that
I can't in my own mind forget the other man.
Well, you mean like maybe you're infatuated with the other guy?
I think so. I know that there's a lot of differences between us.
What kind of relationship did you have with the other guy?
It was somewhat short. I mean, it was maybe a month long, and separated geographically now.
Is he married also?
No, he's not, and he knew that I was.
Do you have kids?
No.
Are you sure you want to be in your marriage?
Yes, I can see myself growing old with my husband. I love him. We've been together for a very long time.
All right, then let it go.
The honeymoon is over.
Yeah.
And these sort of, you know, it's weird, like, we haven't got one of these in a while, but you say, maybe you're not, you know, I'm thinking about this other guy. I can't stop thinking about him. I have feelings for him. Well, maybe you don't want to be with your husband. I want to grow old with my husband.
Yeah. Hi, me the robot.
We've been together for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, the answer, by the way, that we get from women of, well, why don't you break it off with the guy? We've been together for a long time. What's that mean?
Yeah.
That's an excuse. You know, you love a guy, you go, oh, no, I'm very much in love with this person. We've been together for a long time.
Mm-mm.
Use that excuse in it, you know, hey, my job sucks. Why don't you quit? I've been there for 4 years.
Yeah.
Why don't you quit? It's the same question. Right. It's even more so.
They were married when she was 22 and no kids.
They're going to grow old together.
Maybe
so
move on.
Weird one, too. Sam?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe you think it's time to move on a little more than you're letting on.
We're thinking it's less that you're infatuated with the guy that you had a one-month relationship and more that you're just sort of not as into your husband as you might like to be. And so this is a good way to distract yourself from that with an infatuation.
And what broke off the one-month relationship? The guy moved?
She moved.
Or you moved?
Actually, he was a contractor that was doing some work at my place of business. So
he moved on.
Yes, I knew that it was always short-term, although the potential existed.
Well, when he moved, when he stopped doing the work at your business, where did he go?
Back to his home base, I imagine.
Where's his home base?
It's in Kentucky.
Listen what Sam did.
Yeah.
Point is she was with this guy for a month, and the only reason she stopped seeing him is not because she said, I'm so in love with my husband. What am I doing? I'm destroying my life.
He left the state.
Well, but here's how she said it. He finished a job. He left.
Yeah.
He left the job. Where did he go? Back to home base.
Back home.
Could have been one of most contractors work within 5 miles of the, you know, business they're working at.
So
she don't want to admit it. He moved back to Kentucky. That's why things broke off. Sam?
Yes.
Why you dance around the truth with the man who knows more than the psychic when it comes to you broads? He moved. That's why things stopped. He left the state. That's why things stopped.
Exactly.
Well, part of it.
I think I intentionally chose it because I knew it was a short term. I mean, I knew from day one.
All right. Why are you still thinking about it?
You were hopeful.
Yeah.
Also, she knew this guy. She also doesn't want to admit how this guy perceived her, which is,
right.
Hey, I'm rolling into town. I'm a cowboy. I'm out.
and he gave her the attention that maybe her husband wasn't doing.
Right. And he's gone now, but he's gone. You know, it's like a guy that's into her, even when he leaves the state, will still be communicating and stuff. No, he's just gone.
All right, Sam. Well,
it's not about this new guy. It's about whether or not you want to stay with the old one. That's the issue.
You're going to grow old with him. Focus on him then.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, babe.
Good advice.
Listen, hey. who are you people kidding, you so-called adults calling this show, trying to pass your nonsense off on us, and then give us the... We think we're going to give your nonsense the stamp of approval from this show? You're high.
I really think we ought to change the name of the show to Who Do You Think You're Talking To?
Yeah.
I really do. Hey, line 6 is out. Is some spirit been monkeying here?
Ooh.
Like, oh, Halloween here. One of our phone lines is mysteriously out.
You have two ghosts at this building, I must tell you.
Do we?
Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah. And it's all the goddamn equipment in the studio.
Maybe it's the two guys that got killed when the... that cool Westwood One trailer burned down.
Yeah, the 18-wheeler. Peter, do we have ghosts in here?
You most certainly do.
Can you not say that? Because I got to work in here like late at night all the time.
There are two ghosts here. Remember, most ghosts are friendly.
Right.
One of the ghosts already identified himself. His name is George.
George.
Yes.
Yeah, let's look at
George. Him. Or if he's Hispanic, it would be Jorge.
Right.
But there's a definite George here.
No.
And he looks Hispanic looking, by the way.
He is, huh?
Yes.
Now, this building is probably built in the 20s or 30s. I mean,
yes.
It's a very old building. You never know.
Does it have to be? Does he have to have had his problems in this building? Or could have been nearby?
No, ghosts are territorial, so he either died in this building or very close by. They go to places that are familiar and or comfortable to them.
Now, let me ask this. If there was something else that inhabited this space of land, this earth, that's underneath this building, will they just stay there when they tear down the new building and build the old?
Just like the World Trade Center in New York,
right.
When they rebuild,
right.
Those new buildings will be inundated with ghost activity.
Mm. Where have you been invited to go down there?
That's why you got
to
get the dual glazed windows.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Somebody's asking you to come down and talk
to
them?
Yes, yes, yes.
Is it families that ask you to go down?
I'm not.
Can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it now.
It's
part of my television series, which I'm working on.
But what's the deal with the Queen Mary, by the way? Kenny Kingston, the sweet, sweet spirit, likes to go over Queen Mary,
you know,
too.
Again, with all due respect to Kenny Kingston.
I know, you guys are like chicks, you psychics.
No. Remember,
We all hate each other.
No, it's not about animosity. It's about having the ability. Most people do what I do or claim or purport to do what I do not have the ability to communicate with ghosts or interact with them. I did research on the Queen Mary for almost 5 years.
How many people died on the Queen Mary?
There are over 600 ghosts on the Queen Mary. We have to take into consideration that during the Second World War, the Queen Mary doubled as a troop transporting ship.
Yeah. All right.
And so that's where the ghosts come from. Plus, there were murders, suicides.
Yeah. All right. Jesus Christ, what about the spruce goose? Or did they move that thing to Arizona or something?
Yeah, the thing never got used.
The spruce goose,
died on that thing.
Howard Hughes' accountant died on
it. The spruce goose was not active at all.
All right. Yeah, I know. Never got off the ground. Well, a little bit. But where did the spruce goose go? Didn't we send that somewhere?
Arizona, I believe. Arizona or Texas.
Everything ends up... You know, Arizona is like the base of the funnel of the United States.
Yeah, it's goddamn London Bridge ended up there.
We got the London Bridge. I got the spruce goose. What else does a-holes need over there?
Grand Canyon?
Well, yeah, we gained the Grand... Oh, that's probably there.
Well, I'm about to launch some ghost tours on the Queen Mary very shortly.
Oh. How does that ghost tour work?
Well, I will take those that are willing to come and visit me on the Queen Mary starting mid-November. I'll take them to all the hot spots that I have investigated over the years. And interestingly, go into the pool and chat with Jackie, the talking ghost, the little child ghost that I discovered there a number of years ago.
Well, he says you have documentation of you speaking to a 5-year-old female ghost on the Queen Mary.
A, B, C, D.
Really? And how do you document that?
It's been witnessed by thousands of people worldwide that have visited the Queen Mary. And every time I take an entourage, if you will, of ghost followers, she will inevitably speak or say hello or something to that effect. And witnessed by thousands of people.
I mean, but they say hello like your dog says hello,
no,
right?
No.
They're
no,
yapping. Look,
no,
he's
no,
saying
no,
hi.
No,
now
no.
He's saying he wants to go on a walk.
Remember... So in life, so in death. There's no difference. The consciousness remains the same when we die.
Well, but where's the videotape?
I have it.
You do?
Yeah. The videotape is for sale right now. If you go to my website, ghostencounters.com, the Queen Mary video is for sale, and you can clearly hear Jackie talking, witnessed by thousands of people.
Well, what does she say?
She talks about her mommy, her daddy, that she's lost, looking for a ball. She said she's caught somewhere on top.
Right, I'm going to challenge a little bit, so in life, so in death. In life, if you damage or remove your larynx, you don't talk. Ghosts don't have larynx.
No, that's true, but... You're talking physicality. We're talking a spirit body.
Mm.
So a person can die tragically, say, in a fire and lose their vocal cords or how they look. But when that spirit body steps out of the physical body, they're okay. They're all in one piece.
Yeah, but how do they physically make a sound? Is that what you're asking, Drew?
Well, how do ghosts physically physically have sex?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Let me talk to Drew for a second. That's the worst goddamn answer I ever heard. Because I asked him how does something work that I don't believe, and he answered with how does something else work that I don't believe.
Well, okay,
go ahead.
Let me just make one comment.
How do they have sex?
Let me ride unicycles. Let me make one comment.
Keep going.
Let me make one comment about your belief system. I'll say this. To the believer, no explanation is necessary. And to the non-believer, no explanation is possible.
That's another horrible answer.
Supposed to be nice.
No, I got to do. Okay, but look, non-believer, show them a videotape. Then they believe. Okay, all right.
Either that or walk with me on the Queen Mary and see for yourself.
If it were right around here, I'd do it.
I'm not trying to convince you.
No, I'm just saying, how do they have sex? What kind of answer is that?
Just like they did in life.
All right.
Without a penis, like you.
Okay. Let's go. This is good.
We got a break.
All right. I got to see that videotape, though.
You ready? With you?
Sure. I'm not getting going tonight because it's spooky night.
That's right.
We're gonna talk some people. I'm going to talk to some deceased. My grandfather died about 5 years ago.
Really?
Perhaps we could.
But there wasn't violent.
He was in his 90s, but I think my grandmother may have snuffed him with a pillow. I'm going to look into that. Always been a little suspicious because she likes to sleep in the middle of the bed now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
She didn't like to share it. Yeah. Hope she's not listening. Peter James is our guest tonight. Psychic, medium. We'll take a quick break. Maybe you have some questions for him. Perhaps somebody's passed on, need some questions answered. We'll do that after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Peter James is our guest tonight. Psychic, medium, and he communicates with the dead. Heaven, Can You Hear Me? Is the name of his new book that's coming out. And you can check his stuff out at his website, www.ghostencounters.com. All right. What is, I don't know. Give us the eeriest, scariest. I mean, most people who communicate with ghosts always say that the ghosts are fairly friendly and they don't mean us any harm. But that whole doesn't mean us any harm thing. We claim that with spiders and snakes, and no one seems to mean us any harm, yet they bite us in the ass once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I've been pushed, burned, slapped, kicked, punched.
Really?
Over the years, yes. And interestingly, there was a movie that just came out on Showtime called The Heartland Ghost, which I investigated many, many years ago on a show called Sightings that I was on for about 8 or 9 years.
Uh-huh.
And this child ghost named Sally was the most cognizant, the most aware ghost I've ever encountered.
Mm-hmm.
And her way of communicating would be that she would scratch a name or something on the man's abdomen. So I asked her, I said, Sally, which is your favorite toy? This is a child ghost, by the way. The dolly, the teddy bear, or the rocking horse? And she somehow, while the cameras are rolling, scratched on the man's abdomen the word D-O-L-Y. So that was immediate responsive communication.
Right.
So she's a very aware ghost. So this is the most...
Even burned by a ghost?
Burned, yes. She burned my face. And then she gave me a hug.
How'd she burn your face?
I don't know. She used something that burned, just like I don't know how she scratched or how she set the man's shirt on fire right while the cameras are rolling. This is real stuff.
I saw that, and that was horrifying, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
Even for skeptics.
Yes.
Set a man's shirt on fire?
Well, I was the one that did the research on this movie, and that entire movie depicted my findings, my methodology, and all the names that I came up with was about what I did in that movie.
Wow. Anderson saw a shirt catch on fire.
That's,
Drew, put the encyclopedia.
That's
Saracen, a member of a nomadic people of the deserts.
All right. Trying to figure out what a Saracen
was. I saw the skin scratching. Like 4 or 5 years ago.
That was real.
And well, I looked at her, and it was terrifying.
That was real.
I was there. What was terrifying about it?
She was scratching him.
But I mean,
well, just the fact that I was watching that, and I couldn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend.
Drew, put the dictionary away. Then you'd know why it was terrifying. You weren't listening for the last 10 minutes. And don't parrot back what we're saying. That's BS. Now shut that goddamn book and let's do our job.
He's looking
here.
Up ghost.
BJ.
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was going to ask the guy there. I actually had a little time frame there where I was having a lot of experiences with ghosts. One was actually in my house, and I had a phone call in the middle of the night, and I usually listen to the answer machine to see who it is. And the answer machine, it was an old girlfriend of mine talking, and as soon as I turned to pick up the phone and talk to her, I was being held down, and I couldn't get to my phone. I thought I was wrapped with my comforter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's just a nightmare.
Having a hard time getting to his phone now.
Were you fully awake at that time?
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Or were you sleeping?
The phone was right below the bed because I leave the phone right there.
But were you sleeping?
I was trying to reach down to pick it up.
Yeah, but BJ,
Were you sleeping, retard?
No. Listen. So when I tried to get to the phone, I couldn't. And I finally whipped what I thought was the cup off. And when I turned over,
All right. Hold on.
Sounds like to me that.
Yeah. How? Let me ask you this. When the phones go bad, this is the only reason I believe we have a guest. It always sounds like this. No, listen, you don't understand. Well, I turned around, and then I looked. And I saw him.
In my opinion, it
always works. It goes like the closer you get to the finish of the story, the crescendo of a story, the worse the connection is. The part where the person says, no, listen, you're not going to believe this, that part's always crystal clear. It's the part we're not going to believe that we never get to hear.
In my opinion, the man was sleeping, and this is a phenomenon called sleep paralysis.
Sleep terror.
Yeah.
Can you look up?
BJ, it's a sleep terror. It's a common thing. And sometimes as part of that, you'll visualize something holding you down or something happening to you. Your brain just fills in the gap for the sleep terror. It's a common thing.
Yes.
Well, no, this is not the first time. It's not even a sleep. That was the first time anything like that happened to me in my bed. At first, it was in my living room while I was on the phone. And every time I was on the phone, something would happen, like a book would fall off my shelf or the phone would come across. It was...
Did you do any research as to who lived there or died there?
Forget it. Listen, BJ, you got to get on a better line. It's ironic that he's talking about all these things going on the phone and the ghosts and everything. We can't hear a goddamn word he's saying.
Yes.
It's all about the phone.
It's all
about the phone.
All right. Now, what about the ghosts in this building?
The ghosts in this building.
Jorge.
There's Jorge or George, and he did look Hispanic, and I do believe that he was a worker here.
He worked here.
Yes, he worked here, and he died here. Or he died in the immediate surrounding area.
Now, can you bring him in here and talk to him, tell him to go back to heaven or where we need
I've already said a few things to him, and he just, he was somewhat non-communicative, but he did say that he did work here at one time.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he doesn't speak English.
He spoke English.
Don't you have, because you know they're sort of stuck here and you have this gift to talk to them and can send them on.
Yes, but my responsibility was not to enlighten him. It's through this radio show.
Okay.
Well, make him leave, because I don't want to deal.
Okay. But he's friendly.
He's friendly?
He's friendly.
What about the other one?
The other one's name is Patrick.
Wait, what?
There's Patrick. A Patrick.
Why is that weird?
Uh-oh. Because a guy worked here named Patrick, and he died on a motorcycle.
How about
kid.
That? Hello?
Ooh, that was
How about Ooh. That?
He worked for Lycus.
Yes.
When did
but
he die?
But he didn't die in here. He died on a freeway.
It was about a year
ago.
Yes,
but he worked here, right?
Yeah, so he worked here.
All right, so they're territorial. They come back to familiar places or comfortable places. There's a Patrick who died here. I'm telling you.
Well, I know it was a young guy.
It's a Patrick and a George.
He died on his motorcycle. He didn't die here. He died on his motorcycle, but he came back.
They come back to places that are familiar and or comfortable to them.
I think he's still phone screening for Lycus.
Yeah.
What happened?
His name is Patrick.
Now what happened? I didn't hear this.
His name was really John.
Oh.
No, his name was actually Patrick.
There's a little thing about it in the back by the coffee machine. Go get that for him.
You know what? I never make up stories.
A newspaper article about this guy.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on, everyone, just hang on. When did this guy die?
A year ago.
About 6 months.
6 months ago.
Literally.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Why is there? How come we never had the discussion about it?
You and I.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about it out there. I don't know. I'm surprised you didn't hear about it. I didn't specifically bring it into this.
And what did he do on Likas's show?
He was a well-liked guy and the quiet. He was a tech guy, wasn't he?
Hey, he came over. He was like an intern at first.
He worked here.
Stuck around.
He worked here.
He was here for a good 2 years, probably.
And did we ever meet him? Was he ever around here?
I don't think so.
No.
All right.
I met him plenty of times.
When I went back to use your facility before coming on air, he was standing by the men's restroom.
It's not the guy who used to ride the motorcycle out of here.
No, that guy's still alive.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, unfortunately.
And why is there an article up back by the coffee machine?
Because there was a lot of obituary-type stuff posted all around here, up here and over, still back. These are where the bulletin boards are.
Oh.
Back in that bulletin board.
I never read anything. I always assume it's some crappy picnic I don't want to go to.
Right? There was an article about him out by the door here for 6 months.
All
right. Right, Anderson?
Take a look at that.
Right. Yeah, he was really liked by that Likas crew.
Yeah. Right.
It was a very sad thing.
Well,
how about that?
He came by here to show them his motorcycle, and then apparently the next day he went and died on it.
Oh, boy.
How about that, guys?
Yeah, very, very eerie. Yeah. And now we got to figure out who Jorge is and what the hell he was doing around here. And
I think he was a workman of sorts. I don't know exactly, but...
And this place wasn't always a radio studio.
No.
I mean, this building's 75 years old.
I think it's like a horse livery or something.
It's a historic landmark of some sort.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, it's a historical landmark, yet someone did it. It looks like the interior looks like a gay porn from 1974. Jesus Christ.
So, in my absence, gentlemen, you can communicate with Patrick. Say hello.
Wow.
All right.
Now, we'll let Patrick
How do we do that? How do we communicate with Patrick?
You communicate the same way you do with any other living physical being.
Yeah, but I know they're in front of me when I'm communicating with another physical being.
Yes, of course, because... You'll sense their presence usually by some little tapping or some kind of activity or maybe a cold draft or something. And if you feel that, say hi, Patrick, just like you would say hi to this gentleman here.
Hey, when the air conditioning breaks, call him in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get that Patrick in here when the air conditioning condenser freezes
up. Get Jorge to fix it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get the Mexican to get up on the roof. Please, Drew. How dare you? Peter James is our guest tonight. He's a psychic and just talking about...
Thank you. Somebody throw money.
Someone who passed away, who worked right here in this building less than a year ago, who I naturally had no idea about.
Yeah.
Adam?
Well, he was such a caretaking guy. I'm surprised those guys that
you're
18. Escaped.
Well, I don't walk. When I, you know, I'm all business. When I show up.
Yeah. You're on the phone.
A few minutes after the show. No, I walk straight in the studio and sit down.
On the phone.
I don't chit-chat out in the hall with you chatty Cathy, so I got work to do. Adam?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say, Adam, you're the funniest man in the world.
Thank you.
You love him.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Drew, passionate man.
Indeed.
My problem is, when I take it, it feels like razor blades are coming out.
Mm-hmm. Are you on any medication?
I am on Dexedrine because I have ADHD.
How long have you been on that for?
My whole life.
And then you've been sexually active lately?
No.
Do you masturbate a lot?
Yeah.
Did you use anything that might have irritated the urethra?
No, I use moisturizer.
Nothing new, though.
No.
Well, that kind of razor blade, that peeing fire is a urethritis, inflammation of the urethra.
Oh, that's not a venereal disease?
Usually it is, but he's never been sexually active, he says.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes that sort of unlikely.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's the additive in the ponds he's been beaten off with.
Yeah, he's been always using the same...
You've been using the same stuff? No, he uses the same stuff as mom buys.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you know what I find bizarre, and I don't know if parents notice or not, but when the kid was 11, 12, and 13 years old, the same thing of...
Nivea cream.
Nivea used to last them 8 months. Now it's good for 4 days. Did they ever catch on to that? You got the 46-ounce jumbo Nivea thing that's gone in a week when it used to last all year?
Well, maybe it's NSU, which is non-specific urethritis, which is common.
But it's right. But he's not sexually active, though. You're not sexually active at all, right, Adam?
No, I've never. I'm still a virgin.
All right. So it's something that should be checked out. I mean, maybe you're passing a stone or something unusual like that, but or maybe you just caused yourself some mechanical irritation of the urethra. But
can it be from like masturbating too much?
Yeah, you can cause some irritation.
What are you good for?
3-4.
3-4. The spirits say 5-6.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. The spirits.
And Patrick said it was a little light.
Jorge told me. He told me Cinco.
All right. Adam, do get it checked out, though, right?
All right. But good times, though, right?
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, all right. We're going to take a little break. Peter James is our guest tonight. He's a psychic. We brought him in because it's Halloween time. And I was skeptical up until a few moments ago. And then I realized that Peter had gone to the coffee maker and read the article.
No, it was actually not true.
Yes, I've been here for a year. I haven't
not
seen
true.
It. So
it's not up there
not
anymore.
Not up
he's
anymore.
He's check his pockets.
Not up anymore.
Not up there anymore.
No, he knows. All right, so a little spooky, a little eerie. Somebody worked right here in this building, died less than a year ago, tragically.
Yes,
young man.
Tragically.
In his 20s.
Mm-hmm. He's like 25. Mm-hmm.
25 years of age. Very tragic. All right, we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Peter James is our guest tonight. He's a psychic and a medium. And psychic, someone's going to tell you what's going to happen down the road. And medium is someone who can communicate with folks
side,
that
yes.
have passed on
yes.
to the other side. Peter, you can, if you want to know more about him, see his stuff, you can do that at www.ghostencounters.com. We're going to take a look at his video on the next break and see the little girl talking who's at the Queen Mary, the five-year-old. But Peter went to the back of the Loveline studios over here at Westwood One by the vending machines, which I believe are haunted because they won't put any goddamn popcorn in those effing things. Idiots. Anyway, felt the Patrick ghost. Patrick was a guy who worked here less than a year ago, passed away less than a year ago. Young man, about 25 years of age, very tragic. Passed away near here on his motorcycle, evidently, and is now returned. And why go to work? I don't want to go to work when I'm alive. Why would I go there when I was dead? To me, spending eternity at work,
I would kill myself.
Do you hear me, Drew?
But this was his livelihood. This is where he felt good being. He felt
really?
Good being
this
here.
Dump?
Yes.
This graveyard?
Yes, of course.
Please, I'd rather spend the rest of my life in an urn than Westwood One.
Well, now I was just thinking to myself, you would go to your sensory deprivation tank.
Yes.
That's where you'd go.
Yes. I'd go to my spankatorium. All right. So, anyway, Peter went to the back, said he felt his energy back there by the vending machines.
I saw him. As clearly as I see you.
Now, what did he look like?
He looked like a young man.
Anderson?
And I don't have any kind of a real description. I would say he was about maybe 6 feet tall.
6 foot tall?
Remember, ghosts don't have feet.
No feet.
You never see you never see them from the knees down. They just
why?
Sort of.
That's true.
That's a phenomenon that I'm still working on.
You know what? They're like Muppets.
Yeah.
You just
not
see
really,
the top.
But
their
he was. But yeah. he was a young man.
Young man.
And from what I could tell, he was probably about Dr. Drew's size. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of hard to tell because without having the feet, it's kind of hard to measure height.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then do they float a little above
they
this?
They float or they walk, yeah.
Or they walk with no feet.
Yes.
Hey, these are what they have
I
knees?
Know it sounds strange with no feet, but they don't have feet when I see the ghost.
All right.
But anyhow, he is here, and he's friendly.
Now, when you saw your first ghost when you were 8 years old or whatever, did they have no feet?
No feet.
Didn't that freak you out? You're 8 years old.
Not at all. I was unnerved, but not frightened because.
Did you know you were seeing ghosts?
Not really. I mean, I thought like any child who had the first encounter, I thought it strange, but yet I was comfortable because they were friendly.
How come I never see a ghost?
Well, some people have the ability and/or the gift, and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of recognizing your abilities and learning how to nurture them.
But let me ask you this. If a ghost, like in these movies, and that's all I really have in life is movies to reference. If a ghost was hell-bent on letting itself be known, it could let itself be known to someone who had no gift or no
ability. Absolutely. And many people who don't have the gift that I do mm-hmm. are able to see ghosts or
like,
have a ghost encounter.
For instance, when Engineer Anderson is here, let's say, not tonight, he's too scared, he'll get out of here, but he'll forget about it. And sometime next week, he'll be here 3, 4 in the morning. Like, When I came out here to do Stern a few months ago at 3 a.m., there was my buddy Anderson. He'll be here all alone.
Yes,
Patrick will show himself, right?
Yes, but Patrick has been here all this time.
Yeah, but now Anderson knows, so he's free.
Patrick will not harm Anderson.
Does he know what I look at on the internet when I'm here alone?
I'm not sure. But I have a feeling that there was a little, they had some differences between them, however.
Oh.
But I think those are resolved as far as Patrick is concerned, so there's no harm that'll come to Anderson. I guarantee you that.
They didn't, they weren't the biggest fans.
But Anderson, when you're touching yourself there at 4 in the morning, just think about Patrick looking in.
Watching you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're supposed to be on the clock, not on the... thing that rhymes with clock. You understand? Tony.
Yeah, I'm wondering...
If I own a business, that first sign I put up is no beating off. Because I know 80% of the guys I work with beat off in the head. Go ahead, Tony. And then put a fake camera in the bathroom.
I want to know, did the ghosts talk to people they talked to? And you said they can do everything they do in real when they were living. Mm-hmm. Do they talk to people they used to talk to when they were living when they're dead?
Yes, they do. However, most living people are not aware of ghost activity, but ghosts do communicate. It's just that we are not cognizant of their presence.
So if we don't answer back, then why do they talk to us, I guess?
Because let's say that someone died that you knew, God forbid,
right,
that had some unfinished business here, and say that they were murdered, and they knew who the murderer was, so that they wanted to convey that message to you, but because you're not able to be aware of their presence, then they keep doing that in a never-ending cyclical fashion until someone discovers what they're trying to convey.
And doesn't everyone who gets murdered at 22, 23 have some unfinished business?
Of course.
Like, you know, junior college or a job or whatever.
Yes.
And why don't they convey it more to the police? And do you know of cases where the people came
I've
from the hereafter? I've
helped with many, many cases with police forces nationally.
Really?
And I was able to come up with evidence that was able to incarcerate people.
Really?
Yes. And
the ghost says, here's where the knife is.
Absolutely.
Look over here.
This is documented. My videographer friend moved to a new apartment in Hollywood years ago, and I went to visit him. And long story short, a young woman who was a prostitute there, lived in the building, was murdered there.
Mm-hmm.
And because she died there, when I went to visit him the first time, she was in his bathroom stall shower. And we had an ongoing conversation to the point where the police were notified. The police came there and witnessed my talking to this ghost who gave me the name of the murderer, his license plate number, and where she was found. And, of course, the cop almost had a stroke because he was scared to death. But this is how they found the murderer.
They went and found the corpse, or they already found the corpse?
They had the corpse.
Right.
They had the corpse.
Right.
But her spirit body...
Right.
Remember, ghosts are territorial. They remain where they die.
That's right. They're like cats.
So she told me who the murderer was.
But then I struggled.
How did that work? I mean, how did they catch him, though? Just because she gave the name? You know what
she
I'm saying?
She gave the guy's name, who was her boyfriend.
Ooh.
She was strangled, by the way. They found her with a ligature around her neck.
Uh-huh.
And she was beaten to death. So she told me the boyfriend's name, where he lived, and the license plate of his car. So this is how they were able to apprehend him and incarcerate him.
All right. But here's... Okay, I know
this is a true story.
Dead horse here, but all you did is give the cops the name of someone who they had. I mean, they would have looked at anyway. How does that make him guilty? You know what I'm saying? Where did they get the evidence part?
The evidence was where she was found. In other words, the girl was murdered in the apartment building.
Right.
But her body was found in a gasoline station.
Right.
Rolled up in a carpet. So how would I know that? She told me that.
Oh.
That's what freaked the police out, that he knew exactly where.
Right, and that they had not released this to the press?
No, this was like a couple weeks old.
Oh, really? So it wasn't in the newspaper?
It was not in the newspaper.
The
this was all confidential.
All right, well, you got to say that part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you can read about it in my book, Heaven Can Hear Me.
Yeah, let me say this. First off, you can't come to my house. That's all I needed. Is Peter walking through my living room, going, "Oh yes, you got it." There's a couple of gypsy ghosts here.
Yes,
some are gay.
They're after your body too.
Pedophile ghosts here.
After your body.
That's right. I could never ever enjoy myself again alone in the home, which is when I'm really at my best.
Well, what about here? What if you're here alone at night sometime?
Here?
Yeah, there's Patrick and Jorge. To deal with.
Really, what you have to worry, what I I'll tell you, Patrick has and Jorge have to worry about me, because if I'm ever here alone, I'll burn the place down. The second I'm unsupervised in this dump, I'll torch it so they can collect insurance. Can't stay in this place. All right, Drew, what do you want to do?
Break.
Oh, we got to take a break? All right. Hey, guys, so I want to look at this video. Also, I want to ask you about, I'm trying to think of who's died tragically in my life, and I have a couple of friends, Robert and Lenny, who died many years ago, tragically in a car crash. They were 18, 19 years old. See if you can summon anything up with that.
We're revisiting Bob Crane again next Sunday. Maybe conjure him.
Oh, pull up Bob Crane, yeah. Dial up Bob. Pull the ghost Rolodex out. Get Bob Crane, Peter James, psychic, medium, in here tonight. Halloween, very spooky. We'll be right back.
Johnny's.
See, now, that means nothing to Drew, because Drew's never seen The Shining.
But I've, of course, seen that piece, that outtake.
Ah, well, that's the same as seeing the movie.
The music, however, is not familiar to me.
Peter James is our guest tonight. He's a psychic. He's a medium. You can find him on www.ghostencounters.com and look for his book coming out, Heaven, Can You Hear Me? Drew, how many years we been together now?
Seven
plus, I'd say.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what stage of our relationship would you say that I found out that you never saw The Shining?
Early.
About 15, 20 minutes into our relationship?
Yeah.
Couple of weeks,
early.
Couple of months?
Early.
Within the first year.
No, actually, we shared our love for Woody Allen and... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the deficiencies came forward.
How long have I been begging you to see the movie The Shining?
Oh, 7 years.
Seven plus?
7 plus, yeah.
And have you seen that movie, The Shining, yet?
Oh, it's a great movie. Great movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, now he's going to see it.
Clearly the books. it's a great movie.
Now, doesn't strike you as peculiar, interesting that your partner's been begging you to see a movie for 7 years, on and off, not every night. Every couple of months, maybe.
Well, you told me to go see Crimes and Misdemeanors. I immediately went out and did that. See the difference?
Yeah. Well, this is Woody Allen.
Yeah.
You like Woody Allen?
I hate scary movies. I loathe them.
This is not so much a scary movie as it's a tale. It's a finely crafted tale.
Story. It is.
Very slow burn, very slow build. Nothing much going on in the first hour, but sort of just good movie making.
You know, you can take the sting out of the scare, rather, by understanding that these were people just like you and just like me that died tragically. Someone's mother, father, son, child.
That makes it scarier.
You see? Yeah. So there's a lot of sadness involved also.
Except for they're telling the Jack to swing an axe.
Yes,
that's,
of course.
That makes it scary again, then. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's Hollywood, though. That's for Hollywood.
I see. So, anyway, Drew.
Yeah.
Not going to see the movie?
Okay.
Why don't you say you're not going to see it?
All right. I'm not going to see it.
Now, didn't someone give you a tape of it?
No, I've got the Raging Bull. I'm trying to... that's what I want to say.
Drew, you really know how to go into the fire from the frying pan. Raging Bull's the other movie.
That's what I want to say.
And you actually physically have that one?
I think so.
All right.
This might make you watch
number
it. The guy that wrote Autofocus, so... The Bob Crane thing. He also wrote the Raging Bull. There,
oh, interesting.
So you're interested in him?
Interesting.
Watch it.
Okay.
There you go.
Number of years now. Had the movie for a number of years?
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. I think you have. I think someone gave you that the DVD or tape. Some point. Maybe a gift. The spirits told me. Ed, you're 15.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, boy.
I just want to say that you're, really funny. I know that everybody said that, and it lacks meaning, and you're also a very talented actor, and I'm sorry to see that you were cut out of the James Bond movie.
Whatever. Yes, thank you, sweet spirit.
All right, and also, Drew, you're very, very intelligent and knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And, my question was is that there's this girl that I like at my school, and... For a while, she liked me on and off, and now she's going out with, one of my friends. And I just want to know how I could tell her how I feel about the situation without, damaging our friendship, because I really want to be friends with her, too. But I just don't think I can go on, like, saying, oh, I'm all right with it and stuff like that, when in all actuality, I'm, like, hurt by it because she, like, lied to me before. Like, she was, like, saying...
All right, here's the deal. Forget this idea of being her friend. You're way past that. If you want to be around her, but what you want is to fulfill this fantasy of a relationship. Problem is, she's with someone else. So you either have to bide your time and then strike.
No. Yeah.
But she's not going to...
That's not... He's not going to strike. He's going to bide his time, and then he's going to beat off.
Yeah.
You need to just start fresh. I don't know what it is with guys. I did this when I was in high school. Many guys have many guys have done this. They find a girl they're interested in. The girl is interested in the fact that they're interested in them, but they're not so interested. Their only interest in the guy is how interested the guy is in them and how good that makes them feel. Meanwhile, you're on the back burner. They're chasing the captain of the football team. There's a succession of guys they go through. You end up heartbroken and angry. And next thing you know, 2.5 years of high school's gone by, and you've done nothing but pull your putt and chase this broad around.
Not even chase, just... ruminated.
Slow, yeah.
You're not even
like,
chasing.
Well, you tail like the FBI does.
Yeah.
You stay a few car lengths back in an unmarked van.
And you're not stalking because you're not letting your presence even be known.
No.
You're like a ghost.
And you don't never make a move.
Never fall in love with strangers.
You really are like a ghost. You make noises once in a while, but you don't communicate.
Right. And then every once in a while, you show up at their house, and you're like, where are you going? And they're like, I got a big date. Which dress should I wear? And you get all weird, and they want to know why you're all weird, and you storm out, and they're all confused because you're into them, and you expect them to be psychic and know that they're into you. It never works. Just start new. Find somebody else.
Yes.
What do you mean never fall in love with a stranger?
Well, people give their hearts to strangers.
I know, but what are you supposed to do?
Because people want people to be as they'd like them to be rather than how they really are.
Oh. Yes.
And therefore, they give their heart away to someone that they don't know.
They don't know. Yeah.
That's what I mean about that.
All right. Thank you. Let's talk to Katie. Katie?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question for Peter.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. My grandparents died earlier this year, mm-hmm. and... My grandmother, she died from a stroke, and like she was paralyzed, she couldn't really talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to see her before she died, and I wanted to know if she wanted to tell anybody anything.
But that's not a traumatic death, though. That's a natural.
No, that's a natural cause. So it would be unlikely that I would be able to communicate with her. However,
hold on, maybe it was a stroke of an axe handle.
No. However, Aunt Katie, you can communicate with her by simply talking to her, just like you did when she was alive. And I guarantee you, she would give you some visible sign that she's with you, which can bring about the necessary closure or comfort that you're seeking.
Wait, if she were with her. Wait, I'm a little confused. No, are you suggesting that people can communicate with people that did not die of traumatic death?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Now, explain that part to us.
We can contact our departed loved ones by simply calling out to them.
Right.
And on occasion, they'll make a visitation to us because they want to be around their loved ones, but they're not our guardian angels. That's a myth. So the bottom line is, if you want to communicate with her, just say, Grandma, there's certain things I wanted to say. Maybe there's something you want to tell me. Give me a sign that you're here, and I guarantee you, you'll get results.
And, Drew, you know what? I just thought about this. If you pass before I do...
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine.
I'll pass gas.
Yeah. You pass away before I do. We'll do a few. It'll be just like you're here. I'll tell you to watch The Shining. I'll tell you to see The Raging Bull, and then I'll tell a joke. I'll get zero response on any of it.
All
it'll
the
be
same.
Here we are, just like old times, huh? Just the same as if he was in the studio with me.
It'd be great.
I'll tell a joke, zero response. It'd be perfect. Donna.
Hey, what's going on?
You're 26.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, you know, he was talking about, Peter was talking about, you know, ghosts staying in one place. Now, the experience I'll start off a little history. When I was a kid, I experimented with the Ouija board.
Experimented with the Ouija board?
Yeah, that was bad times.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, those Ouija boards.
Well, the Ouija board is nothing more than a toy. It's just a toy.
Right, well, it's a toy to communicate with the dead.
Not really, it's not.
Oh.
And so what was bad times about it?
Well, see, I never had any kind of, you know, sixth sense about anything like that. But after that happened, I've had, you know, like it.
After no, what I, happened? What happened?
After the Ouija board.
After the Ouija board.
What happened at the Ouija board?
Well, we were talking to this guy that was me and my friend, and I was a very big skeptic, and I was like, you know, touch my friend, and her hair ended up moving, like someone was running their fingers through her hair.
Right.
Really freaked me out. So we stopped, you know, even messing with it after that, and then several years later, I moved up to Tulsa, and we lived in this apartment, and, you know, weird things would happen, like stuff would come up missing. And
I would. When your brother-in-law was in town.
Oh yeah.
What kind of drugs you were doing? Speed, weed.
No, actually, I'm a truck driver. I can't do anything.
Oh yeah, you do.
Have you done any research as to who lived there or died there?
Do what?
Have you done any research as to who lived there or died there?
Well, no. The thing is, he followed me to a new apartment. He would hide stuff. He would hide stuff from us.
Yeah, okay. Right. Listen, TV remote, car keys, stuff like that.
Let me give you a bottom line. This is the bottom line. Don't use the Ouija board. The Ouija board is a toy. It's only used as a focal point. But if you want to communicate with whomever you think is there, just talk to them like you would any other living physical being and tell them exactly what you want or things that you don't want him to do, and he will follow suit. Take control of the situation.
You open your mouth, you actually audibly discuss these things?
Absolutely.
What about thinking stuff?
No, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work?
No, it doesn't work. You have to verbalize.
How come they can communicate with us without actually making a sound?
No, but they do.
We can't communicate with them.
Many ghosts are very vocal, very much so.
Just audibly, like you can put them on your cell phone?
No, not really. No, not that way. No.
All right.
Although some people have received calls from the dead.
I like
the which is a fact.
Leave an outgoing message or something.
Okay.
I've got to get back to Donna for a second. Okay. Hey, Donna?
Yeah.
Seriously, you've done your fair share of speed in your life, though, haven't you?
Well, yeah. No, actually, I haven't. I smoked a lot of pot in high school, but that's a different story.
Okay, so the ghost from the Ouija board followed you all the way to Tulsa to your apartment.
Well, see, like, weird things would happen. Like, we had some friends over, and we were listening to CDs. We took our CDs out when, you know, CD tray was empty. In the middle of the night, we got woke up by the music just blaring out of the CD. And it was a CD that we had taken out of the CD player, and it was in there playing as loud as the stereo would go.
Donna, let me ask you a question.
Can't be explained.
Do you feel it was the same ghost? Because ghosts don't haunt people. They haunt houses.
Well, see, that was kind of my theory. But whenever we moved, it felt like the same ghost because he was kind of upset about things. Because we would, you know, be sitting there. And all of a sudden, it sounded like someone hit the vacuum cleaner with a bat. You know, just boom, hit it real hard and knocked it over.
Is he still active now?
Well, I don't know. I moved out of there, and okay. I've just been in this new place for about a month.
Hey, Donna, so. let me guess which CD it was. 38 Special.
actually, it was Paula Cole.
Oh, how about that?
Ah, okay.
And we'll see a little story behind that. My ex-roommate, her... grandfather committed suicide. He jumped off he lived in Barrett City, Illinois, and he jumped off the bridge and drowned himself in the Mississippi River. And the song that was playing was about the Mississippi River, someone drowned themselves in the Mississippi River.
Ooh.
It really freaked us out.
How about that?
Ode to Billy
and
Joe.
So,
I don't sense any harm around you, though.
All right, you're fine.
You're fine.
Oh, well, I'm not really.
All right. All right, get a ghost following. That's what happens. Let me tell you something about all this stuff with the feng shui and the mediums coming into the house. You know, remember Kenny Kingston want to come over the house and tell me about the ghosts? And
I would never endorse that stuff. Never.
I told him if he was in my house, the only thing I'd want out of the house would be him.
Yes.
He was going to come flush the ghosts out of my house. But let me tell you something about all this feng shui and all this stuff. Once you get started down that path, see, right now I cannot be harmed by feng shui because I don't subscribe to it. The second the feng shui master comes over my house, explains where to put the chi mirrors and which way to face the bed, then the chi mirror falls down, I don't pick it back up, and I get a car crash. You know what I mean? I got started.
It's all in the mind of the beholder.
That's what happened to Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
His typhoon came over, blew off his feng shui mirror. He never fixed it, and now they killed him. See, if you never put the goddamn thing up in the first place, it'd still be alive. That's what I'm saying. Nobody do anything, and you'll never be harmed. Right, Drew?
Yeah. I just wonder what, you know, man and nature used to do.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
when we were hunter-gatherers, how we dealt with feng shui and things.
Yeah, the lean-to is not facing the west. That's where your power source is. Come on, Tobar.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, good. Nobody does. Aaron, here's who believes that. Asians and crazy bored white chicks. Aaron, you're 20. What's up?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been with this girl for like 4 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten her pregnant twice, but both times she had a miscarriage both times. And I was wondering if it was because I smoked a lot of weed when I was younger.
No, the part about you getting her pregnant twice is the part from smoking the lot of weed making you stupid.
What's with getting her pregnant twice? You want her to have a kid?
No, I mean, it just kind of happened.
Aaron, don't take this the wrong way, but one of the cornerstones of being stupid is doing the same stuff over and over again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Also, thinking of pregnancy as something that just happened as though it was she was visited by a shaft of light.
Yeah.
Now, you putting your unprotected penis in her is what causes those pregnancies.
Yeah, right? But I mean, the fact that she had a miscarriage, because she's been pregnant before, she's never had a miscarriage before.
Aaron, it may be...
Does she have a kid?
Yeah, she has a kid.
Maybe there's something between the two of your genetics, but it has nothing to do with the body.
How exquisitely stupid is this broad? Yeah. She already has a kid that she, was pregnant when she was 17?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. And now she hooks up with you, and she's having tons of unprotected sex?
Yeah, she's had three abortions, too, in the meantime.
Maybe that's why she's miscarrying now.
Listen, when I'm in charge, we're going to take women like this, we'll put a gun in their mouth and just throw them out in the ocean.
Well, how about all these near souls? They become ghosts, the abortions.
Yeah, what about the abortions?
And the miscarriages?
All things possible. I have seen baby ghosts, if you will.
Really?
This is a fetus, though.
Yeah.
Talking zygote.
Not a fetus. This has to be a fully developed child. Right,
let me yell at Aaron. Aaron, what do? You independently wealthy?
No.
No, you got some crap job that involves a warehouse and a forklift, right?
A skateboard and a surfboard.
What do you do? What do you do?
That's exactly what I did.
What?
I work at a warehouse with a forklift.
Oh, okay,
that's right.
That's a psychic, see?
No, that's not a psychic. That's my point. But here's
you're a psychic for picking
up.
I'm
rubbing off on you.
No, I'm not. That's my point.
Yeah. I'm rubbing off on you, Adam.
Yeah, you take credit for it. Okay, you drive a forklift. You don't make a lot of bread. You cannot afford to get her pregnant. And she can't afford to get pregnant. And most importantly, I can't afford you two idiots to get pregnant. So, you get her on some birth control. You hear me? Please.
Right. Aaron, of course.
Aaron, are you willing to look in the mirror and admit you're stupid, or can you just pretend like you're not?
No, I can look in the mirror.
Why? Why do you want to do this? You're not in any shape to do this. It will ruin your life.
Well, I mean, she would have had an abortion anyway. I mean, she
all right, okay, then fine. Let her just have 100 abortions.
And that's why she's miscarrying so much, probably, all these abortions.
Good. People are so goddamn stupid. And this is, by the way, way down on the list of societal problems, by the way. These jack-offs are knocking everybody up, and the chicks that are having all the abortions and all the kids and all engaging in all this behavior. We don't, that as far as the politicians go, we got an election coming up. All I ever hear is these guys running smear campaigns against the next guy, talking about taking big business to task, all this nonsense. Please. We can't focus on this. This is the number one problem, everybody. It's her kids that we're going to have to deal with. These are the future unemployed citizens of this country. This is the prison populace of this country. It ain't Drew's kids. It's her kids. We don't want to focus on that, pussy politicians. And they know what the truth is. I've said such an ass for all these smear campaigns.
Poor set of values in life.
Here's the scariest part about this whole thing. It has nothing to do with Halloween or ghosts. But I believe that the politicians aren't so stupid that they don't know that they can't do the math on this one.
They're involved in the procedure of getting reelected.
Reelected, not the part about making any significant change in their community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe they know about it, other than Maxine Waters, who's, as I said, Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son, who I'm not sure if she knows where she is. She doesn't seem to know where she is. I've spoken to her. I think she has dementia or something. But other than Maxine Waters.
Justice, no peace.
Who, Maxine, if you're listening, baby, I know you're not listening because you don't know where you are and you're not sure how the radio goes, or perhaps you're talking back to me at this very moment. I don't blame you, sweetie. You're disoriented. You don't know where you are. But all the other ones, I blame them. They know what they know, the price that we pay for these unwanted kids, and they never focus on it. Oh, we got to build more prisons and more schools. How about we cut off the steady supply of people that are going to the prisons and the schools?
They're too busy playing the victim role.
Mm. That's it. Pussies. Jennifer?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Yeah, let me tell you this. Hold on a second.
Hold on, Jennifer.
The Republicans are busy arguing against ballistic IDs and things that make sense. And the Democrats are trying to get more money so guys like our last jackass caller can bang more chicks and we can support more of them. It's really ridiculous. You know, somebody comes up with an idea. Hey, how about doing ballistic identification? Every gun that's sold has a ballistic trademark to it. They're all different. It's like fingerprints for guns.
Yeah.
There are anyone that's sold leaves its own mark, its own special mark on the bullet, and that's how we can tell what gun it came from. How about we simply register the guns so we have a nice archive, and next time we pull a bullet out of the head of some guy on the street, we can go, hey, here's the gun it matches up with. Nope, not going to happen. A crazy idea. So we got the Republicans working on that. No, there'll be none of this. Then what we got the Democrats working on is, hey, how about we get some DNA samples from all the people that are on death row so we can get a nice, so we can figure out what other unsolved crimes they may have taken part in. Nope, we're not going to do that. You retards, what are you doing? What are both of you doing? You think I'm going to join one of your idiotic parties? You got the one a-holes busy defending the guys that are on death row and the other piled visiting Chuck Heston and his buddy defending everyone who buys a gun. What are we doing? This is what the parties are doing. This is what goes on. This is why we got to eliminate these parties. We need a third party in there. There's someone some goddamn respect for this country to go in there and not worry about getting elected next time. The thing is, I think they start believing their own rhetoric after a while. They start arguing. They vehemently argue, the Republicans and the NRA guys, about why this ballistic identification thing's a horrible idea. Oh, of course. Imagine. Close your eyes and imagine if we knew what gun every bullet came from, how the world would fall off its axis. Oh, what a horrible, horrible. Would you want to live in that land?
No.
Would you want to live in a place where we knew what gun this bullet came from? No. Then when we were pulling the bullets out of the victims of the sniper in Washington, we would actually know what gun it came from. Oh, my God. Horrible idea. And would you want to live in a world where we knew the DNA of the guys that were on death row so we could solve unsolved crime? No, we wouldn't want to live in that world. What a horrible, horrible world. That'd be like communist Russia. It'd be like East Berlin.
Big brother.
Oh, yes, we can never know any of this. No, and telling screwed up teenage women who are getting pregnant over and over again to stop having the goddamn kids. Would you want to live in that world? No, of course not. Of course not. Idiots. Idiots. Pussies. Cowards and idiots. A pox on all of you. Pussy politicians with your smear campaigns.
They say,
let's just go sue the tobacco companies. Let's get some more money.
20 miles of beltway surrounded by reality.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Republican Democrats. Then this poor Democrat kicks off in a plane crash up there. And where the hell the kickoff in Minnesota last week? And his funeral turns into a Democratic rally.
I know. Did you see Jesse Ventura talking about that? He was so angry.
Good. Of course he should be. These pussy Democrats. Guys all make me sick. Sick! Anyway, Peter James, our guest tonight. Big Halloween show. Psychic medium. We'll be right back. Peter James is our guest tonight. Psychic medium. Find his stuff out at www.ghostencounters.com. Dr. Drew, the man who refuses to see The Shining or Raging Bull, is in studio tonight. We just watched Peter's videotape, which was taken at the Queen Mary. Queen Mary, English ship from the 20s, 30s?
30s.
And biggest cruise liner in the world at that time, right? I mean, the Titanic had sunk before that,
yes.
Right? Now, was the Queen Mary wasn't bigger than the Titanic?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
It was. Or
yes,
it is.
Was. Yes.
Did not know that.
The Queen Mary is 1,090 feet long, and the Titanic was about 800 feet long.
Huh. Wait a second.
Yes.
Oh, wait a second. The Queen Mary is 1,019 feet
long.
Oh, 1,019. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, so it was 100 feet or so longer.
Yes,
than
longer than the Titanic.
Wow. Did not know that.
She was called the Grey Ghost for a while, too.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. They used her as a troop ship.
Troop transporting ship during the Second World War.
Oh, my God. That would have sucked doing... Oh, I'll tell you. Let me tell you this. I don't know. I'm just going off, and then we're getting back. This is why this show... This I can never do this show. I always say that the guys who were in the Merchant Marines in World War II had the scariest job in the world. You know, whenever people talk about World War II, they, oh, man, flying the B-17s or being in the submarine corps, this is the scariest thing in the world. But per capita, more Merchant Marines lost than any other branch of the service. And it's something I always suspected because they were sinking millions of tons of shipping stuff. You know, the beginning, first 2-3 years of the war, the Wolf Pack, the subs, Japanese subs, German subs, sinking everything. And I went to the Imperial War Museum in England, and I had a little exhibit on it, and my hunch was correct. Mm. It was the most dangerous. They lost not the most men, but per capita the most men. Hmm. Imagine that. You're just somewhere in the mid-Atlantic. It's 3 a.m. It's freezing. It's pitch black outside. A torpedo hits your ship, and you're in the 20-foot swells. You're just going in, baby. Pitch black and freezing water, 20-foot seas, and you're going in. Oh, can you imagine? Even if you didn't go in, just doing the long ship, knowing that the Wolf Pack was out there watching you. How freaky. Yeah, so the Queen Mary, obviously,
The Queen Mary was transporting 16,000 of our troops during the Second World War. They were not equipped with air conditioning, and they were in the Red Sea area during the hot summer months, and they died at the rate of 1 every 7 minutes for hours. This is fact.
Really?
This is why the Queen Mary is inundated with ghost activity. Yes.
One sailor every seven minutes?
One every 7 minutes for hours from heat exhaustion.
So there was a period there. It was a few hours.
Yes, a few hours.
That's went over the course of the war, Drew. We lost every one of our fighting men died on that ship. Wow. So you're saying there's hundreds, maybe?
Hundreds. There are at least 600 ghosts on the Queen Mary.
So this Queen Mary, I mean, this is one of the biggest concentration of ghosts?
Yes, it is.
Well,
in my opinion, the Queen Mary is the most haunted place in the world.
Right.
And I've investigated haunted places throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to launch my ghost tours on the Queen Mary starting the 15th of November. Come and see me.
Second only to Phyllis Diller's vagina, by the way.
Yes, of course.
Haunted?
Yeah.
Haunted, very haunted.
Queen Mary, second.
Very
distant second, but second. Jennifer?
Hey.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Adam, I wanted to say that I agreed with your speech right before break there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
She calls her the Queen Cherry.
I have a ghost question.
Yeah.
My uncle committed suicide about 10 years ago. And I was just wondering, like, if you said that if ghosts really wanted to communicate with people, why doesn't he communicate with our family? Is a suicide different? Like a different type of phenomenon?
Suicide comes under the category of violently or tragically death. So have you tried to communicate with him, Jennifer?
No. Well, I mean, like, you know, when I was younger, I used to... you know, try to talk to him because he was my favorite uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a big tragedy for our family.
How old were you when he killed himself?
Oh, it was about 10 years. It was about 9 or 10.
And did your parents tell you that's how he died?
Oh, we know for a fact. Just because...
No. I mean, did your parents tell you
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah. My mom sat me down and told me.
Right? About the suicide part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you do that with a 9-year-old?
Yeah.
Definitely, you do?
Yeah.
Tell him the suicide part?
He was very close to our family.
My advice is, Jennifer, is to try to communicate with him, and I'm sure you'll get some results.
Okay.
Do it once or twice a week, like, say, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and light a candle, meditate, and call out his name and ask him to talk to you, and he will.
Why 7, 8?
Because nighttime is their daytime. They're more aware.
Uh-huh.
So at least this has been my experience.
What about, like, because he lived... he lived further away, though, and you said that...
It doesn't matter, because the dimension that we speak of in the afterlife is as close as an arm's reach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right here. So I'm quite certain your uncle is right here with us in this dimension.
How old was he when he killed himself?
He was about 35.
Oh, boy.
And he put a gun to his mouth. So, you know, I don't know if I'd really want to see him or anything, you know.
Well, you wouldn't see him with a gunshot wound, I guarantee you that.
No.
That was just his physical body.
He'd have no head.
No. He'd have a head, of course.
Right, never had.
Try to talk to him, and I'm sure you'll get good response.
Uh-huh.
Hey, good times, all right?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
All right.
I love you guys.
Loving
all
you,
right.
Baby. Yeah, I know. I'm a big proponent of lying to your children. The part about he killed himself, it'd be freaky for me if I was 9 and my favorite uncle killed himself. I wouldn't want to hear that somebody killed him.
9, 10, 11-year-olds can abstract pretty well. Under 8, I wouldn't necessarily get into
it. She was 9, though, not 11.
Yeah.
Favorite uncle. Borderline. It's
fourth grade, think about it.
Yeah, they could figure it out. Yeah. I mean, they could do it. I'm just saying, I might just say he just died. He died when he was asleep.
Yeah.
He was in his bed. I just do the. I'd leave the part out, like he was in the bed with a shotgun in his mouth.
Yes.
He died. He was on a sofa. He was watching KCAL Channel 9, and Tanya.
Yeah. Hi.
No, he killed himself.
One more third wheel episode. And
that's right. They're running a third wheel marathon, and they put a shotgun in his mouth. Tanya.
Yeah. Hi.
You're 21. What's up?
Yeah. Kind of weird. I guess I've always, my grandmother calls it a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been able to kind of do things that other people couldn't do.
Like what?
You can shine, huh, baby?
Like what?
I've always been able to read kind of cards. You know, it's not something that I really can control.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell when somebody around me is hurting or is inflicting pain upon themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who it is, and I can't calm down until I find out.
What do you mean inflicting pain upon themselves? What does that mean?
The last incident was I just had my husband was giving my daughter a bath, and all of a sudden I told him, you can't go pick up, you can't go pick her up. I shouldn't have said her name. I have to do it. And I thought maybe he would be in a car accident or something. And he, with everything that he's seen with what I've gone through and, for us together in the last 3 years.
You can't go pick her up. She was where?
She was at work, and I had to go pick her up.
Hold on a second.
She
can talk to the dead, but not to the living.
Right. The baby was in the bathtub?
The baby was in the bathtub, so I told my husband...
Don't pick her up.
And then I didn't want him getting into the car...
To go pick her up. Because she's at work.
that's literally exactly how I heard it.
It didn't make sense.
Tanya.
Yeah.
The baby's at work?
No. Okay. My daughter was in the bathtub. My husband was giving her a bath, and I had to go pick up a friend from work.
A friend.
Okay. You left the part about the friend from work.
Left the friend part out.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I just had this bad feeling. I said, you can't go, and I thought maybe he'd be in a car accident.
Wait. I thought you had to go pick up the friend from work.
No, he was going to go. He was giving her a bath, and I was going to take over, and I just had a bad feeling.
You got to get the part where you were going to... Okay, well, I tell you, hold on a second. I'm not done with this. Because,
next caller, please.
Oh, my God. My husband was giving my daughter a bath. I had to go pick up my friend from work, but I tell my husband, you can't go. Jesus Christ. Talk about hard to follow. All right, Tanya. So,
let's try this
you
again.
Told him he couldn't go pick your friend up at work.
Yes.
Your friend.
Yes.
Because he planned to do that for you.
Yes.
That's right.
When you were going to take over the bathing of the child.
Yes.
Tanya, you said that you sense things that you're afraid to delve into.
Yeah.
My advice is, because you're becoming aware of this, take it one day at a time and learn all of these experiences through trial and error. And once you learn through trial and error, you can cut to the chase and realize what the best methodology is for you to use.
Well, she's worried about the error part.
It's not just that. I mean, there's other things, too. I ended up finding out that my friend was trying to kill herself. And mm-hmm. I made her take Epicac and throw up the pills that she had taken.
At work?
Yeah. She had taken them at work, and it must have been the events following up to me finding out.
Well, now, hold on a second. What does that have to do with not letting your husband go and the baby?
And
I don't know.
Why did you tell us about
I had a bad feeling. The thing is, though, I've had this since I was a child. My stepdad tried to make me practice it, and I lost trust with him after he molested me.
Oh, my God. So,
All right, now we got it. We're getting clear now. Yes. Okay. Back. That's all coming in focus.
Not really. It's something that I've been able to do since I was a child. My father visited me when he
what?
Died.
What? Tell stories that were disjointed?
Huh?
I don't know what your gift is other than the disjointed story gift.
Well, and I can send spirits around me. I mean, I don't know how to deal with it because of the fact that I'd like
to... Tanya, I'm telling you, you deal with it one day at a time, and you learn to separate things to whatever works best for you. That's what you pursue.
Give that kid away to a nomadic group of magpies to raise. You are going to screw that kid up in a big way, Tanya.
It sounds like you have a psychic ability.
No, please. Don't feed this fire. You need therapy, baby.
Oh, I've been in and out of therapy.
Get in.
Stay in. I think I've had a premonition, but I can't say anything about it.
Good.
What's the premonition of?
No, she can't say anything about it.
Well, it's because my husband's in the military. And if it comes true, I could be branded as a terrorist.
Okay, good.
If it doesn't come true, then I'm called a psycho, or, you know, a psycho.
Right.
So your premonition, why would somebody call you a terrorist?
Well, yeah, because if she predicted, predicted 9/11 before it happened, they would have pinned it on her.
It hasn't happened yet.
I know. Oh, I know. But you know what I love about our first off, this chick is all over the map. I said if she predicted 9/11, yeah. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, look, first off, here's what I'm saying. If you predicted 9/11 before the tragedy happened,
you'd be a hero.
Do you think we'd blame it on you?
You're right.
No.
Yeah.
We wouldn't call you a terrorist.
Think so. No.
No. As soon as we walked into her trailer and looked around a little bit, they'd realize she was not connected
Tanya,
to
anything. Have they given you a diagnosis of bipolar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I hear coming from you is bipolar.
Manic disorder. That's why I'm.
But I hear the bipolar. You're manic right now,
Tanya.
I don't know because I feel fine.
I know, but you're manic,
Tanya. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm the smart one over here. Here's what I need you. Not to imply that you guys aren't smart. It's a matter of degree. Tanya, here's what you need to do. You need to forget about all this crazy psychic stuff. You need to not have any more kids.
No, I'm planning on stopping.
Good. You need. How many do you have now?
I have two. I have a 2-month-old.
Especially if
you're 2-month-old.
Your husband's going to war right
you
now.
You need to focus on your children, and you know how your stepdad and your mom screwed you all up with the molestation and the crazy talk. You're in grave danger of screwing your kids up with this problem that you have.
That's why I'm trying to deal with it.
Yeah, it's not dealing with it. It's not psychic ability. It's called being psychologically damaged and needing to get some therapy for that. Okay? Take care of yourself in that department.
Let her make a prediction that she can't tell us.
Give us the prediction.
Do what?
Give us the one you can't tell us. Yes.
Well, I woke up one night and I told my husband that I saw a boat. It was a large boat, like a cruise liner.
Mm-hmm.
And something floated up and blew it up.
Uh-huh, like a mine blew up a cruise line.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know about water mines.
But that's a reasonably probable,
exactly,
you know, that can
happen. Exactly, but at the same time, I'm in a Navy area, and it's not a good thing to start talking about things like that.
Right. Because, again, that could be pinned to you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, baby, listen. No more kids. No more kids.
No, I'm good. I like kids.
Okay. All right, take your medicine.
Oh, baby. Yeah, she invented the mine.
That's what they call ideas of reference.
She heard about it on the news.
No, it's that I thought about it, and that made it happen.
Yes, of course. Yeah, so.
No, oh, well, here's two things. First off, you watch the evening news at night when you're half asleep on the sofa. They interview some terrorist expert, and they say, well, what happened? And what's coming up? And they go, well, could hit a cruise liner. A lot of people think a train, trestle bridge, overpass, something like that. They give a couple scenarios.
And then it goes into visualization.
You go to bed and you do it. I mean, listen, I would argue that every single time you drop someone off at the airport, every single time you drop your dog or cat off at the vet, every time you drop your grandma off at the hospital, it flashes through your mind when you're driving home. Jeez, I wonder if something tragic happens. And then when or if it does happen, and it only happens one out of every million times, you then go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, premonition. But what about the last 140 times you dropped the guy off at the airport and nothing happened?
But in actuality, I believe her life is blowing up rather than the ship.
Right. Oh, good point. Nice. Yes, yes.
Nice. I like that.
Mine,
that's symbology.
Yeah. We will take ourselves a break. Peter James is here, and he's a psychic medium. He's got a good sense about him, too. I like that. He's not talking about them sweet spirits. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's a Love Line. This is music from another movie Drew's never seen, I'm sure. Frankenstein. Drew, have you seen that?
Frankenstein?
I don't know what Frankenstein. Peter James is our guest tonight. He's a psychic. He's a medium. I'm a husky.
You're a large.
Oh, see, I beat you to the joke, Drew. www.ghostencounters.com is where you can find him on the net. And let's hop back to the phones and speak to Andrew. Andrew?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Yay.
How are you doing tonight?
Good. Good times.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, your crank anchors pulls off. I actually tried something today, and it worked.
What'd you do?
Called the subway, told them that Jared Fogle would be showing up.
Oh, Jared, yeah.
Yeah.
So losing all that weight.
Yeah, totally. I told them, you know, the manager said he was really excited about it.
Oh, this
said
is
he
ridiculous.
Wanted Jared to be there. And that I had to go over a list of things and then told him that he's still very sensitive about the weight, even though he's lost it.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, don't mention anything about his size or the way he used to look.
Yeah, this is a crank anchor call. We had his publicist, Jared's publicist, call the subway, tell him to get ready for him. He was coming. Hey, let me tell you something about the subway. I don't know if they advertise on this show, but...
They do. Stop.
Okay, they do? Well, let me just say this, though. Who are you guys kidding with that bag of chips? Are you high? Got 8 cents worth of Ruffles? Who are you kidding? I go in for a sandwich. I want some coleslaw. I want some fries. I want some beans.
Oh, no. I
want 3 cents worth of Lay's.
First of all, I was warned that a coleslaw tirade was in my future.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Who warned you about that? Because I went off.
People at your office.
I went nuts at my office the other day.
Yeah.
They don't get me going on the coleslaw in this town.
And secondly, they want people to lose weight. They don't give them all that fried calorie.
We got 2 minutes. I want to ask Peter a question.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so if you die, wherever you die, you stay there?
Yes, ghosts are very territorial, yes.
If it's
so what about, like, could Adam, and this is hypothetical, or could I go into a strip joint, shoot myself, and then be there for the
I told him to go to Olympic Garden and shoot himself.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, Adam can go to
heaven. And he can have sex with the people there.
Would I have to pay the cover every night?
No, you'd be a house guest.
He would go to Olympic Gardens and shoot himself.
No two-drink minimum?
No.
Can we be sued if there's, like, a rash across the nation of people shooting themselves?
Well, not if we kill ourselves first. It'll just sue our states.
But would it be a traumatic death if you went in there? It'd be sort of like a...
Well, here's my thing.
Expecting to have
I just want to do a topless joint because I got to have some beer. I don't want to be drinking grape soda. You know, all they have is soda jerks at these bottomless places
out here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll go to Olympic Gardens then. We'll kill ourselves in Vegas. We'll bring Andy Dick with us just so he can say he was there one more time. And, oh, Drew, please. How dare you? That was a cruel joke.
I have to leave at this point.
Let's talk to Harold, who's 32. Harold?
Hey, Adam. I love the man show.
Great.
I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I can appreciate the entertainment value of having Mr. Cleo here on Halloween night.
Yes.
But I'm a little surprised you guys deal with... You're so great at dealing with real-life situations.
I know.
You would have a fraud on there, and I know you know he's a fraud.
Hold on.
Admit that. You and Dr. Drew, just admit it. What you really think, that this guy is a totally fake...
Let me say this in everyone's defense. I don't believe in this stuff, and I know Drew doesn't either. That doesn't necessarily make Peter a fraud. Because I draw a distinction between, see, if he doesn't believe it and says he believes it, then he's a fraud. If he does believe it and it doesn't exist, he's still not a fraud. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you.
I know it sounded offensive. You're offended, like, but I was trying to defend you.
Like I said, in my defense, to the believer, no explanation is necessary, and to the non-believer, no explanation is possible. So if you're a skeptic and call me a fraud, then that's your prerogative. But I'm not the least bit bothered by this.
Yeah, but here's what bothers me about you. If it was just purely entertainment, you know, if it's the Barnum and Bailey thing, fine. But the problem with it, number one, you profit off this. You write books, you got your website, all this stuff, you're profiting. Number two, you're taking advantage, and Dr. Drew, I think, would agree with this, you're taking advantage of people who are emotionally vulnerable.
Oh, but I'm not. I'm not doing that at all. I do a lot of things pro bono. There's no charge of many things that I do. And furthermore, the nature of what I do is in the name of research. It is not anything fraudulent or Barnum and Bailey.
Contact their relatives, and that's total bull.
I don't do that at all. That's not what I do. I'm strictly ghosts and hauntings. But it's not about haunting your long-lost relative.
All right. May Harold?
Yeah.
Listen, I agree with you about three-quarters of the way.
Okay.
But I got to sit here. Yeah. And I promised producer Ann that I would not run out the next psychic that we had on the show like I did the last one. The last time we had a psychic on the show, me and this chick argued like mad people for the entire show, and it was very uncomfortable for Drew and everyone listening.
I'm not alone.
Right.
Well, you guys are brilliant. You're
thank you, Harold. God bless. I'll see you on the other side.
Right. Bye. Hey, Harold. Pleasant dreams.
All right. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. That is it. I want to give certain thanks out where thanks are due. First off, I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones. Go Harvard Westlake. Yeah, go Wolverines.
Who are they playing?
Yay!
Those pussies. Alamany. Yeah.
They're going to
kill them today. All right, I mean tomorrow. Yeah. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a fine job on the phones. I want to thank...
I believe that I'm a slut.
I want to thank Lauren for doing a great job filling in for producer Ann, who coincidentally does a great job when, in fact, she is here. And, of course, the fire starter, one with the magic fingers, the one who slides the potentiometers like Liberace slid his young boyfriend's penis up and down. Of course, Engineer Anderson.
Who is tonight freaked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be here till the wee hours. It's all right. He'll drink to cope. Peter James, I want to thank for coming in here on a Halloween night. And even though I'm skeptical of his profession, as a gentleman and a delight to be around.
Thank you kindly. Thank you.
For that, I'm going to give him one more plug. www.ghostencounters.com if you're interested in finding out about Peter and the work that he does. And so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
Pleasant dreams.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.